coast to coast and border to border. It's Tailgate Radio.
Glad to have you back. Thank you so much for downloading our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the TuneIn app for your smartphone, SoundCloud, Podomatic, over at Roku, Apple TV, anywhere you want to listen and download on-demand content, you've got us. We've got a great show for you this week. We've got part two of our interview with Marcus Ogden, and you're not going to want to miss that. If you haven't had a chance to listen to part one, the great thing about a podcast and being a host of a podcast is you can reference previous episodes and you can go back and listen to part one of Marcus. You can stop what you're doing right now, hit pause, go back and listen to part one, and then come back and listen to part two, because it is an amazing story. And Marcus has had a great career in the NFL. I think he played for 5 or 6 years and parlayed that into a very successful business career. All that came crashing down with one bad business deal, and he's going to tell us what's happened since then with part two of his interview. All that and a whole lot more on this week's episode of Tailgate Radio. But first,
we love having great advertisers support our show, but in order to continue to do that, we need your help. So please go to podsurvey.com/tailgate and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you just a little better. That way we can show our advertisers just how great our listeners are. Even if you've taken our show's podcast listener survey before, the new one's new and different, so I'd really like you to take it all over again. Plus, once you've completed the survey, you can enter to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Again, that's podsurvey.com/tailgate. Thanks for your help.
You're listening to Tailgate Radio.
What's up, everybody? It's Adam Richman from the Travel Channel, and you are feasting your ears on Tailgate Radio with the Grill Sergeant, John Largent. Remember, chew carefully and eat mightily.
And welcome back to Tailgate Radio. The Grill Sergeant, John Largent, want to thank you so much for downloading this week's show. And just a quick reminder that you can check us out at tailgateradio.com, on our Twitter page at Tailgate Radio, and we're also doing live periscoping at Tailgate Radio. So that's a really cool new feature that we have, and we do some live video from the studio, from parking lots and tailgate parties across the country. And if you want to take part in that and just check out what we're doing, you can follow us on Periscope. Scope as well. We're going to go back to our interview. This is part two of our interview with Marcus Ogden. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to part one, just go back and check the archive from last week's show and listen to that great first part of the interview. And then we're going to follow up right now. And Marcus goes into more of life after the NFL, and he's going to talk about his upcoming book called Sleepless Nights. So we're going to join that interview in progress with NFL alum Marcus Ogden.
I ended up borrowing money from a loan shark twice, paid him back the first time. Second time, I couldn't pay back the loan. I lost everything, John. House, you know, my house that I had worked so hard for. You know, it wasn't anything, extravagant or through the roof. It was a nice, you know, above average townhome that I had bought that was in, you know, Owings Mills, Maryland. I had a nice used car. I was living very, very below my means. I was not flashy. I was not, you know, I was not crazy or gaudy. I had worked hard, and I took the money that I had, plus the money that my father had left me from when he died suddenly of heart conditions, and I took all that money to build a life, and I kept dumping the money in. And the funny thing is now, John, the NFL has programs like the trust that wasn't around back then. The trust is about 2 years old. So The trust helps me now transition with programs like Babson College up in Boston, the number one business school in the world. Helps me with getting into programs to have my brain and my body looked at assessment-wise. So the trust is brand new. But the retired FLPA has been around for a while.
Right.
And they really got me squared away. But to go forward, it's all about trying to really leave a good mark after you're done. the NFL gets a bad rap with all the domestic violence and all of the abuse and all of the woman's things and all things are going, they're transcending. People have to understand the NFL is a shield. It's a brand. It's not a person. Mm-hmm. You know, people work for the NFL and they're trying to do their best. You know, the symposium, I talk about that in the book, how in the symposium, you know, there was a woman there who was part of, you know, of a process. And we talk about things on what they've seen. Very beautiful woman, John, you know, gorgeous, all this type of stuff. She came up on stage when they had the seminar about things on what they've seen. She was HIV positive. And she said, you all were all flirting with me, talking to me, looking at me, you know, gawking at me. And none of you would have known if I hadn't just told you I was HIV positive. Hmm. Sleep with me, and you're playing Russian roulette.
Yeah.
And you know what? If she was one of the women out there that was vindictive or angry because she had gotten it from someone else, man, mm-hmm. could you imagine?
You know, I think the last 2 years, last year and a half, the NFL has really taken some black eyes with various and sundry issues, and we won't jump into all of them. Why do you think that the NFL doesn't push the fact that they have all of these great programs? Do you hear about them? And if you're a hardcore sports fan, or you cover sports as a reporter or something like that, I think you have more of an understanding. But the general public and Joe Sixpack out there has no idea, one, the struggles that players have. Everybody says, oh, they work for the NFL, they've got money, and don't realize that you have issues. They're different issues, but they can be sometimes, in your case, for example, how would you deal with that? So I want to know, you know, in your opinion, why doesn't the NFL really set themselves, hey, we have these great positive programs, and I know they have Play 60 and some of the feel good things that are great, but I mean from a personnel standpoint, because the abuse that players take on the field with their bodies, I mean, it's a sacrifice, and with head injuries and with, you know, with everything that went on with, like, Junior Seau most recently, you know, there are just so many. It's almost like people pile on when they see a target and there's, you know, that underbelly's exposed. They just go, you know, they go for it, and they keep pounding and pounding. And I think the NFL has taken a real beating in the last couple of years. But to hear something like this to me is very uplifting and very optimistic, and something that I think fans and the general public would love to hear. And I know the old saying in journalism, if it bleeds, it leads. So I understand that. But I think, you know, we have worked with Tailgate Radio. We've worked with the NFL. They do a thing Super Bowl week where they raise money for all the food banks across the country. And they have a big black tie banquet and all that. But you never hear about it. It never gets any press. But they raise hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for these charities. So I, you know, it's really interesting to me that while it seems very fashionable right now to pile on the NFL, you were saying that the NFL was your saving grace.
Well, you know, John, you're a very intelligent man. Just from talking, I can pick that up. If Roger Goodell got on TV and talked about this, would you listen? Probably not.
Yeah.
Would you listen if, you know, I don't know, Jerry Jones got on there and talked about this? Probably not. The NFL doesn't have anyone, a player, that is willing to share this story. You know, now I'm not going to say I'm the first, because I don't know. But I will say that I'm probably one of, if not the first, person that is willing to divulge this story in a large arena where anyone that wants to pay $16 or $17 for my book can pick this up and read it, or can go on Amazon or Kindle and purchase it and download and read it while they're working out. No one is willing to come forward, because players that lose their money, now again, it's not all the time. You know, guys like $12 throwing on houses or baby mamas, or, you know, you always hear that. But again, no player has been willing to step up and say, you know what, I had a nice career, you know, it was good. You know, I played 5-6 years and did okay. I mean, I had a, you know, I played a lot, did well, and got vested, you know, had, you know, made good money, you know, and I think I made 7 figures plus in my career, but then got out, and then I built an 8-figure business in less than 5 years. But then I lost it all in 90 days. You know, who has the kind of story that is true that you can honestly say happened? You can look in the Maryland, Baltimore history books for business transactions and see that what I'm telling you is true. There's a ton of buildings in Baltimore City that I can go to today and say, my company did the earthwork for that. Johns Hopkins Parking Garage, Johns Hopkins Health Laboratory. I've done work on the new casino that's in Baltimore by the airport. I've done work for Four Seasons Hotel, which is in downtown Baltimore. I've done work on many historical and well-known projects in Baltimore City and in Maryland. Healthcare for the homeless, I can say that. But again, I can also say that on one bad job, I lost everything that I owned and then some.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to do, John, is turn my failures into a wealth for myself and my future family. Because honestly, a lot of people will get behind a person and work with him as a spokesperson. I have some companies I'm a spokesperson for. I have several companies that I do business with now that know my story, and I work with them. But when this becomes public knowledge, John, about 5 weeks in Barnes & Noble, at Target, at Books A Million, Kindle, Amazon, you know, we're going to do an audiobook, you can find out that the brother of probably, John, the best left tackle, no, I'm going to say the best left tackle ever, ever,
yeah,
has had problems just like you. I am no different than you. The only difference is, John, I put on pads and had a helmet and I had an NFL emblem on my chest. That's it. I made very good money, but I didn't make life-changing money. You know, but so I got out of the NFL and I went to work. I went to the grind. I rolled my sleeves up and I worked like a blue-collar person like everybody else and built a business on my own blood, sweat, and tears and my own money. But then I lost everything. So, John, people don't know or don't know about it because no one has been willing to step forward and say it.
Let me ask you this. I'm by the way, folks, I'm here with Marcus Ogden, and this is a fascinating story, and one of redemption and failure and perseverance. And I mean, it's really an absolutely compelling story. And when the book comes out, you say it'll be available in just a few weeks, right? Sleepless Nights?
Yes, about 4 or 5 weeks, we'll be going out to have our first run, and then we should be in stores October 6th. Or October the 13th. All books come out on Tuesdays. I thought it was kind of interesting. But we'll be out either on the 6th or the 13th of October.
With a story as compelling as you have, that you can influence the lives of so many people in the league, are you a regular speaker, or have they asked you to come and talk about your story? Because I think that says volumes about the league if they do, and it may unfortunately say things about the league if they don't. So have you been part of that process?
I actually just spoke to my case manager, Mr. Hannibal Navies, who played with the Packers, the 49ers, and the Panthers. He's my case manager with the Trust. I sent him a copy of the book. He's very excited to read it. The director of the Trust is Bahati Van Pelt, who is my old director of pro personnel with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He'll be made aware of it. I have not spoken to anyone about it yet because I wanted to wait till I had the final copy that we're going to lay out. I do plan on reaching out to Andre Collins, who is in the NFLPA office. I do plan on reaching out to Nolan Harrison III as well. But I've gotten very, very good feedback just from telling Hannibal and a few of the Trust case members who are not athletes there, you know, regular people that were hired, about my story. They are very excited about it, and they think, you know, they have a chance to basically hopefully be into their curriculum. And I am a public speaker by trade. I'm a big time, very well spoken. I do that for a living. I speak at different universities like Shaw University over here in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm doing some other things, some other programs across the country. I've spoken for Fortune 500 companies, Fortune 100 companies. different programs, things of that nature. So I'm very well versed and fluent in speaking to different programs and different associations. But I would, and I've told my case manager along when I was at Babson, I told them, and the Babson professor, who actually, it's funny, he actually did business in the early days with Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. And he said, Marcus, your story is amazing. And he said, you have the personality and the communication skills plus the practical and business experience to save kids' lives and tell them how to do things correctly and then, most importantly, what not to do. And honestly, John, throughout that whole process, I never, ever, as I was losing my shirt, I never, ever went to my brother, who made probably $50 or $60 million in his career, never went to him for a dime. Never. Now, I've talked about that in my book, how, you know, I could have gone to him, my wife and I agreed, it was my mess, I need to clean it up. I need to, even if it cost me, John, everything. And you know what, John? Even if I don't survive mentally, even if I go over the edge, you know what? At least I've gone over the edge with my respect, with my head held high, and with my dignity, because my brother never, ever made the decision to get involved in Caden. Never. So why would I bring him into something that's about to go down? Could he write me a check for $1 million and save me? Sure he could. You know? Sure he could. But that doesn't teach me anything.
So many times, especially with younger people now, once they hit the mat, they don't
know
how.
No, and they do. And honestly, John, like I said, people, I mean, even Handler asked me, it's like, how did you not lose your mind? Like, it's one thing you have like a business deal, you got some investments, and you've lost $2 million, and you have a chance to get it back and all that type of stuff. You know, it's a little bit different. It still hurts. But when you lose $2 million of cash that you've continuously wrote checks out for, moved money over for, that you mortgaged your house, that you took a loan shark and had them have a position in your home, when your credit cards get maxed out, when your personal savings go from $1 million to $700,000 to $500,000 to $300,000 to $100,000 to $20,000 to $5,000 in less than 90 days, it puts an emotional and physical toll on you like you never imagined. And combined with that, before all that happened, I had lost my father, who was my best friend. So I had really just rebounded from that after when I started my company. It had been fresh about 2 years after he passed in 06. I started my company at the end of 07, beginning of 08. And it was fresh off the iron when he passed. And then to go from that, then almost 5.5 years later, you lose everything that you possibly... Oh, and then on top of that, John, you actually meet your wife, who at the time was your girlfriend, on Match. She leaves Carolina. She quits her job with her 8-year-old daughter, moves to Baltimore because you have a life to provide for her with your construction company. You're doing well, and you think you're all set to build your empire. But then 2 months of her moving, she moved in November, but then 2 months of her moving, I had to close the doors. She moved in November of 2012, and January of 2013, I knew Katie was done. So, can you imagine, like, going to the grocery store, John? She went to pick up, like, some groceries for the house, groceries. I get a phone call from her yelling and screaming at me. I'm like, what is wrong, babe? Babe, the credit card doesn't work. It's maxed out for a $60 grocery bill. Can you imagine what that's like to have someone leave their job, quit their job, move to be with you? She has no job. She has an 8-year-old daughter that you're responsible for. And you can't even buy groceries. And then for your 8-year-old daughter, her birthday was in January, that same January, we literally could not buy a cake. Literally, we had to have someone make a cake for me. We spent like $5 or $10, all that we really had, to get her a couple of pizzas from Little Caesars, like 2 bottle pizzas for $10. We had to get her like the worst gift ever. I don't remember what we got. It was so bad. But can you imagine that, John, from being an NFL player, making a good living, a sustainable living, and then building a phenomenal company that you think is phenomenal anyway, within 5 years to an eight-figure business, and you see checks for $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million, and then you can't even afford to spend $50 at the grocery store. You can't even spend $10 to get your daughter, you know, more than two pizzas. You can't buy her cake. And all of this, John, is in the book.
Yeah.
Because I'm not ashamed of it. I was ashamed then, but I said, you know what? And this is in the last chapter. It was very hard for me to come to terms to share the story. I said, Marcus, you can build a better life for yourself and another form of identity for yourself by helping people not make the same mistakes you did, number one. And number two, people that are down their luck, had a loved one pass away, had, you know, had a bad business deal go bad, lost all that money, gone bankrupt, whatever the story may be, they can read your book and say, you know what, this guy turned it around, and I can too.
Want to remind you that you can check us out at tailgateradio.com. Our Twitter is also Tailgate Radio, and we do some live periscoping from time to time also at Tailgate Radio. So for everybody here at Tailgate Radio and Game Day Media, as we always say, keep the drinks cold and the grill hot, and we'll see you in the parking lot. Adios, amigos. Catch you on down the road.
You've been listening to the Tailgate Radio Network. Any rebroadcast without the express written consent of Major League Beer Pong is strictly prohibited.